the place where the X is. There's a stretch of the year when time goes by too fast to be marked. If I could guess, I'd say that it starts about the end of April when we dig the garden and begins to slow down in July when the backyard is in full bloom. On the first sunny day in May, the light is so intense I feel like a mole in a tanning salon. The leap from April into May is Saturnalian. It's almost time to head up north to Little Bear Lake and Narrow Hills Park. It's just about time, friends, one and all, to go fly fishing. All through March and April, I have purchased everything I might need for the fly fishing season. New fly lines, wet and dry. New leaders for my fly lines. New tippets for my leaders. New flies for my tippets. I've practically memorized every trout stats column in my latest fish facts. Bought my fishing license, booked off a week, lined up my fishing buddies, phoned the Mogensons about a dozen times, perhaps even more than a dozen times. How's the ice situation, Alice? Frozen tight as a drum, Dave. How are things looking up there, Ken? A little early yet, Dave. How's the ice situation, Alice? Not much to report, Dave. How goes the battle, Ken? Try ringing us next week, Dave. How's the ice situation, Alice? Oh, Dave, we had us a real blizzard yesterday. You might just ring us up a little closer to opening day. Things still frozen up there, Ken? Well, Dave, we had a small bit of melting around the cabin, but the lakes are all froze up yet. Oh, Alice, by the way, how's... Pretty much the same, Dave. Say, Ken, while I'm talking to you up there, what's that we'll call you, Dave, okay? How's... Froze up. Still... Yup. But something happens. It always does. The sun performs its patient work on the deep drifts of snow that lie heavy in the northern woods and the pale blue carapaces that cover every northern lake until the second week of May, and fishing comes to those who wait. I have only a few fishing buddies who approach my certifiable state of obsession. Warren Carew is the most obsessed and the most athletic, the Wayne Gretzky of Saskatchewan fly fishing. He has the fine coordination of a Swiss watch. He is focused and he's deadly. Bill Robertson is the very embodiment of determination. He will stop short of nothing to get the trout in the net. This includes death-defying dives in scrotum-tightening waters that would discourage even otters, beavers, and muskrats. Bob Calder is more of a Clint Eastwood character. He wears dark glasses, an ancient black flotation jacket, and a wide-brimmed tilly hat, and he casts for trout through the mystical smoke of a Rittmeister cigar, which he uses for camouflage as well as to fend off mosquitoes. He hauls the trout in, releases them, and moves on like smoke into the muskeg. You can almost hear that theme music from the good, the bad, and the ugly, the refrain that sounds like a calling loon. Doug Elsasser is a compact, sturdy guy who looks like Bruce Springsteen. Rumor has it that he gathers leeches and uses them for bait. But who am I to judge the moral worth of a man who can carry a big canoe on his shoulders and slap mosquitoes at the same time? You don't impugn the worth of the man who carries the canoe. Kiever is a combination of Meryl Streep in River Wild and Annie Oakley. She goes it alone with the belly boat, drifting to her own music among the trout like a synchronized swimmer until the trout begin to feed beneath her inner tube. She picks them off one by one. Some of her casts take fish less than a canoe's length away from her flippers. Oh, we eat well in May.